Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God which engages us on this day is Psalm 113, portions of which we just chanted in the introit, and the entirety of which is on the backside of the worship guide. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, it usually doesn't take a long time for new students at Concordia Seminary to know their place. It doesn't matter if you are a 22-year-old college graduate or a 45-year-old former business executive who had oversight over hundreds of people. The message is clear. You're a seminarian now. Know your place. Now, for those who have a little difficulty knowing their place, we have some exercises to encourage that enlightenment and greater self-awareness. In new student orientation, for example, you will sit for hours in Wartburg Hall learning all kinds of helpful information, such as how you should address your professors. Never by first name, always by either doctor or professor, and when unsure, use professor. Armed with all of this helpful information, we then send you from office to office, clinging ever so tightly to your verification sheet, making certain that at each office, your verification sheet is either stamped or signed at the appropriate place. Don't think of coming to registration without a completed verification sheet. And if you still don't know your place by the time of registration, you learn the mantra response you are to give at your resident field education congregation. If someone asks you a question that might, even in a small way, involve you rendering an opinion about what is or isn't happening at that congregation, you know the mantra. I don't know about that. I'm only a seminary student. You'll have to ask the pastor about that. Knowing your place can be very important. Our text for today defines our place far beyond the walls of the seminary in the greater kingdom of God, and of even greater importance, it defines God's place in that kingdom. We note the text on the back of the worship guide today, and first of all, note that verses 2 and 3 give us the extent to which we are to praise God. There are no temporal limits on this praise of God, as verse 2 indicates, both now and forevermore. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Verse 3 reminds us that there are no spatial limitations upon this praise. From as far to the east to as far as the west, or as the psalmist puts it, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Verse 4 of the psalm stipulates why we are to give praise to God. Although the nations are great in their totality of power and might, the Lord is above the nations. And although the heavens are glorious in their splendor, the glory of the Lord exceeds them all. In short, His place is above every place. There is no person or any entity. He is exalted above all. But then comes the beautiful part of this psalm, verses 6 and 7. Where we read how this almighty, all-powerful, majestic God of the universe stoops down to look upon the earth. And not only does he look down and become cognizant of what's happening on the earth, but he also stoops down to raise up those who are lowly and in need. Verse 7 stipulates how this same God reaches down to those who are low and needy, sitting in ashes and in dust, and raises them up to places of nobility, one can just imagine the poor beggars along the side of the road, sitting in dust and ashes, receiving alms from passers-by. They are not beneath his willingness to stoop down and raise up. And neither were we. Spiritually speaking, sitting in dust and ashes as beggars were we. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. That was our place. That was our death sentence as a result of sin. But the very Son of God, the all-glorious, all-powerful, majestic God of the universe, did not count equality with God something to be held on to. But as Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 2, he emptied himself, humbled himself, took on the form of a servant, and being found in very likeness as man, he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Just hours before he would die on that cross, he told his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, that where I am, there may you may be also." The next place he went was not to the right hand of the Father, but to a wooden cross on a hill outside of Jerusalem. On that cross, our place became his place. And as a result of what happened on that cross, his place is now our place. No longer are we spiritual beggars in dust and ashes along the side of the road. Our place is secured for eternity. And having our place secured for eternity changes the way we look at our place here on this earth. That place is described in verse 1 of our psalm, where the psalmist writes, "Praise the Lord, O servants of the Lord." We praise him through our service, both with our lips and with our lives. But there is a temptation, is there not, for those who have known their place here, to leave here and put others in their place, as pastors and as deaconesses. After all, we're the ones with the seminary education. We're the ones with the theological formation in our past and years of it. Who are they to disagree or argue with us? Don't they know their place? Or is it that perhaps we're a little confused about our place? We return to the image of the Almighty God of the universe, who stooped down not only to help us, but stooped down in order to teach his disciples and all of us a lesson, and took hold of a basin of water and a towel, and washed his own disciples' dirty feet. God washing dirty feet. Or at another time, when the disciples were arguing as to which one of them would have the greatest place in this kingdom of heaven, Jesus called a humble child into their midst and said to his disciples that anyone who humbles himself like this little child will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Or on yet another occasion, when the disciples were arguing as to which one of them would be in the greatest place in this kingdom, Jesus responded in Luke chapter 22, "The rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them are referred to as benefactors, but not so among you. Rather, whoever would be greatest among you must become as the least, and whoever would rule as one who serves. Behold, I stand before you as one who serves." His place is and was and remains clear. He is and remains among us as one who serves. Our place is clear as well. We are before him and in the midst of one another as those who serve. May the description of our service, spelled out in verse 1 of our psalm for today, always characterize our place before God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise his holy name. Amen.